What dictates success in computer science or in the course you're TAing? Is it all work? A person that spends 101 hours knows more than a person that spends 100 hours? Is it all talent? If you're born with a big brain, that's everything, and if you aren't so lucky, all bets are off? Is it somewhere in between? What I would like you each to do is to commit, physically point your finger at the right point on this scale. Where you believe the truth is. All right, hopefully you have done that. Now, the truth here is tricky to know. I know and have heard significant figures in this field say everything from, after years of study, I have been unable to determine if such a thing as talent actually exists. Which is about as far in the all work camp as you can get. I'm also familiar with people that have said, I believe that less than 2% of people can ever design a good algorithm, which is pretty far over here on the all talent spectrum. Okay? Knowing the truth is tricky, and indeed, this is a variation of a much older debate. We could think of this as being the nurture versus nature debate. Is it how you're raised and what you do, or is it how you're born and what you are that controls these sorts of things? We're not going to solve this debate today. Okay? We're not even going to try. Instead, we're going to talk about something that is easier to measure than this. We're going to measure the impact of what we call mindset. In other words, what can we learn about people based on how they answer this question? Or other questions like it. This study is known as mindset, and we'll give the names they give to these two extremes here in just a moment. Before I do that, a random aside, this is going to be one of many cases where once I put the names that are given to this scale by this field on the board, you're going to know which one they liked and which one they didn't, just by the names they picked. There's a whole lesson in marketing your research here that's probably worth discussing, but probably not worth our time right now. So, this is called the growth mindset because it believes that you grow your intelligence, that it doesn't start out at 100%, that you grow it over time. This is called the fixed mindset because you believe you are or are not smart, and therefore your smartness and your ability in any given field is fixed. And as you might guess, just purely based on the names, in general, the mindset literature finds positive things about the growth mindset. Let's look at just a handful of those things. Let's consider reaction to failure. In general, and everything I say is just trends, it's not rules, but in general, we find that people with a fixed mindset, when faced with failure, see that failure as evidence of lack of ability. Because this is what fixed mindset says. Do you have ability or not? And therefore, because it's evidence of lack of ability, you're likely to quit. I'm not able. I have now learned I'm not able by failing, so why would I keep going? On the other hand, growth mindset tends to see this as evidence of insufficient practice. I haven't tried enough. I haven't done enough work to master this. And therefore, they're likely to try again. If this was the only thing we learned from growth mindset, it would already be something TAs and educators everywhere should try to encourage. Because people will fail, and if they try again, they'll succeed. We ought to try this for this reason only. But this is not the only thing we see. Let's consider another. Cheating. Suppose you're faced with a difficult, challenging assignment, and you happen to know relatively easily how to get the answers. You have a temptation to cheat. On the fixed mindset, you're likely to actually do it. Because the assignment is tedious work, you know you have the ability. Why would you spend your time and energy on the assignment if there is an easier way? You know you have your ability. You turning in an assignment that has all the correct answers shows people you have the ability. Done. On the other hand, a growth mindset, this assessment, is being used by somebody who's designing my practice. Okay? It's teaching me and them what I know and don't know. And so in general, we find we're less likely to cheat if we're thinking in a growth mindset kind of space. Again, if this was the only consequence of mindset, we would still want every student to have a growth mindset, to believe that it's about the work rather than about the talent. But this is not all. Stereotype threat. When faced with awareness of a negative stereotype about your group, on the fixed mindset, this tends to have a strong impact. If I believe the stereotype and I'm a member of this group, this is strong evidence that my group lacks talent. I'm likely to lack talent. If I don't believe the stereotype, but I still have a fixed mindset, I'm likely to believe other people will see my failure as evidence that me and my group lacks talent. We're going to have a strong impact here. If I have a growth mindset instead, I'm going to tend to have a very weak impact. And why would that be? Well, what is a stereotype in a growth mindset? It's a recognition that people in my group haven't done as much work on average, haven't had as much exposure. This is not a comment on me. It's not a comment on my group. It's a comment about the opportunities and activities that people in my group tend to engage in. And so why would I care? People will see that I have or haven't done the work. That doesn't say anything about my innate ability. Okay? So it has a much weaker impact. In fact, several of the studies that I used back in the first video of this week to talk about what stereotype threat is, use some version of growth mindset as the intervention to remove it. There are certainly others that have been tried as well, so that we know that it's more than just growth mindset. But growth mindset is effective at removing stereotype threat. And that's why it's in this week, as we're talking about diversity and stereotype threat in particular. This is a powerful tool building growth mindset in the minds of our students. But of course, building growth mindsets in the minds of our students, that's a tricky thing. What does that even mean? How do we grow growth mindset? How do we build growth mindset in the minds of our students? We're going to talk about a handful of ways. Okay, the first way we're going to talk about is believe it. Teacher and TA mindset is strongly predictive of student mindset, changes it, okay, as they develop this from them. And so you should believe that it's all about work. But how are you to believe that? What if, let's imagine the actual truth was, oh, I don't know, how about here? If it was mostly talent, if it was mostly how lucky you got in the brain handing out department during birth, how could we believe that it was all about work? Well, our job as educators is the difference between it being all talent and the truth. Whether that's a big difference or whether that's a small difference, that's our job either way. I don't know where the truth lies. I personally believe it's much farther over here to all work than it is to all talent. But either way, this is what I'm working at. I like to think about being a cognitive personal trainer. If I go to the gym and talk to a personal trainer, they can look at me and by looking at my body, tell a lot about my capabilities in the kinds of things they try to do in a gym. They can tell that somebody is just biologically not likely to ever be very fit or biologically very likely to be very fit. But I don't expect to go to the gym and have my personal trainer look at me and say, well, you know, you're just unlucky. You have a bad body. You're never going to be very healthy. That's not where they're going to go. The job of a personal trainer is to help everybody be as healthy as they can be. The job of a TA, a cognitive personal trainer, is to help every student be as good as they can be. Whether you believe that's almost the entire scope of ability, whether you believe it's a smaller thing, that's your job. That's what you should focus on. That's what you should talk about. That's what you should be thinking about. That's what should be in your mind. It's the growth portion that is important. It's the difference between the truth and all talent that is your job. And if you believe that is zero, then there's no reason for you to be employed because people's work has no impact. Okay? This is where you should focus. You should think about, you should train yourself to be thinking about this at all times. Another thing to think about here is your vocabulary. What words do you use? Okay? How do you discuss? Two big things here to think about in how you talk. You should share your own growth. It is tempting as a TA to want to appear smart, to try to defend that image of knowing everything. This is counterproductive. Just being smart is a fixed characteristic. What you want your students to see is that you have become knowledgeable, that you have learned the material. You want to talk about how you didn't know it. You want to talk about struggles you experienced learning it. You want to share that. Okay? And as you share that, you can help build a growth mindset and help your students understand that you are ahead of them and able to help them. You can achieve both goals. The other one I want to talk about is compliments. First, you should be complimenting your students. This is a good thing, has nothing to do with what we're talking about right now, but you should be saying nice things about your students. What kinds of nice things should you be saying about them? Should you be saying, "You are smart? You're so smart, you got that really well." Or should you be saying, "You did a good job. You worked hard, you accomplished a lot." Are you being fixed or are you being growth? In particular, look for the phrase are or is. Okay? These are words that are fixed mindset. You don't want those words. You want instead words about job and progress and accomplishment, things you have done. Focus on the activities, not about the innate abilities. Okay? And this can help convey a sense of growth mindset. Now, thought because we're at UVA. This is an important thing to have a growth mindset, but every school I've been to has a student culture. Student cultures seem to exist mostly independent of any obvious institutional systems to create them. They tend to be self-supporting as new students convey it to the next generation. And at UVA, I have noticed a whole lot of fixed mindset language. We tend to say, because you are a UVA student, you are smart, you are a leader, you are in charge, you are the best. R. We have a whole lot of this language. I would love it if we could wipe that all away. I wish I could just wave a magic wand and change the student culture to be about work, to be about accomplishment, to be about diligence. These are things that cause people to show those other attributes. This is a hard thing to do. But to the degree you can combat this in CS, in your courses, in your one-on-one interactions with students, to that degree you can see all of the positive outcomes of a growth mindset, including a dramatic reduction of the impact of stereotype threat and a benefit for students, regardless of what the stereotypes and environment around them says. And that is growth mindset.